Good morning.
Morning.
So this morning you're going to get your money's worth because we got a big reading. Luke 24:13-35. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty indeed in word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as a woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread." This is the reading of the word.
Thank you, Lynn. Let us pray together. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I know this is true for a few of you at least, maybe more, but me, ever since I was a little kid, I could not wait to drive. Anybody else feel that way? Anybody? I could not wait to drive. It just seemed like it was forever until I turned 16. And then, you know, when I failed the written test the first time, and then when I failed the written test the second time, that was a setback. And then when I got behind the wheel and took the driving test and I failed it the first time and the second time and the third time. But then when I passed it on that fourth time, I could drive, and I've always loved to drive. I travel by plane, that kind of thing, sometimes from time to time, but There's something about the open road. I also wanted to be a truck driver. Aren't you glad I'm not out driving an 18-wheeler? I might need a ride home, by the way. But, there's something mythical about roads. It's a mystery. It's a journey. We have those iconic travels, the family road trip playlist. What's America's Main Street? You know which one that is? Route 66. Get your kicks on Route 66. Anybody know how old Route 66 turns this year? 100. It's the 100th anniversary of Route 66. There's the Pacific Coast Highway, the Blue Ridge Parkway. We know about Cannery Row and Sesame Street, the Silk Road, the Nightmare on Elm Street, Broadway, 42nd Street, Abbey Road, all of those places. And of course, nothing's better than Mount Royal when they're clipping the trees, right? Or paving. I mean, that is just, that's, yeah. This one is special. This road to Emmaus. The thing is, not everybody has driven those roads I named or walked those roads I've named. You might not even have ever heard of some of them. Not everybody's going to hike the Appalachian Trail. I hope not, but I might be the only one in the room that has looked for Judy Garland's stars on Hollywood Boulevard and Vine. But as strange as it sounds, we have all walked this Emmaus Road. What's happening on this road? We have two friends consoling each other on the way from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Remember, this takes place on Easter evening, but the last time that they have seen their friend Jesus, they saw him crucified, his body placed in a tomb. And just imagine what a slog this 7-mile journey was from Jerusalem back home to Emmaus. They have their heavy hearts. They're carrying their own heavy hearts, and they're also carrying one another's. They might have been, they probably were part of that crowd that was on a different road just a week ago, waving palms, shouting as Jesus triumphantly came in on a donkey, the one that they placed all their hopes on, the real man of God who'd come to their rescue. Their dream was coming true. It was so close. And now it has fallen apart. Sure, there are these idle tales about women saying that angels told them Jesus was alive, but nobody's seen him. All those dreams and those hopes, they have come crashing down. And for me, I'm moved by the words that they use in their brokenhearted story. We had hoped. And if you think back to times in your life when you had hoped, that's when you've been on that road. And some of us feel like we might be on that road now. We had hoped that our child would love school. We had hoped that we would not hear that news from the doctor. We had hoped that this time love would last forever. We had hoped that the demon of addiction or depression would just leave her alone. We hope that at this stage or this age in our life, things would be different. We'd be on the sunny side of the street all the hours we prayed, but no, here we are, struggling to put one foot in front of the other. I've been on this road many times. And even if you haven't, I bet you know somebody who has, and you have traveled that road with them. So you've been on the road. And that's why this story is powerful. This story shows us how we navigate this road. How we navigate it when we're unable to go on, and how we navigate it with our sisters and brothers, our siblings. Just last week, a woman came into my little cave at the library, and I hadn't seen her in a while. She emptied her heart and her soul about her adult son who died last year after many years of struggle with addiction and depression. And she looked at me and she said, you know, I would not be standing here, Ing, if I hadn't heard the awful, painful stories of other moms and dads who lost their kids the same way in my grief group. We cry, she said, we rant, we scream at our kids. We tell our kids we love them. We look in the mirror and scream at ourselves. We curse God. We hold each other. We just listen, and our pain helps us understand. And that's what Cleopas and his friend, they're doing for one another right here on this road. It's what you've done for people. And it's what people have done for you. And when that happens, that's when the miracle shows up. That's when Christ is present in that exchange, right beside you in the person next to you. And as the story tells us, right here on the road. This awful road reveals that Jesus is there with them. It doesn't matter that they don't recognize him at first. And what he says might sound like he's chastising them. But instead, this is Jesus at his pastoral best. Because he walks right with them, and he shares the promises of old that they would know, and he reminds them in telling them these stories of the times when God has been with them on other heartbreaking roads when they had hoped, and those hopes were dead. And so then, already moved by the healing that is taking place, they are able to invite him home, this stranger. They don't know he's Jesus, this stranger. They invite him home. And in their own gift of love, they see him. They feel him, and they know he is there. And it's in these thin spaces, right in the middle of these hard, horrible roads, through each other, that the Christ shows up best. And it may be in those unexpected places in a grief group. Yes, for sure. I know many, and I myself have experienced that too. But it can also be, and I've seen this too, I've experienced this too, in your little dancing class at the library, in your bowling team, in the people you work with, in your family of origin, or maybe sometimes they are the source of the pain, or in the family that you created. Even in the deer who gather on your front lawn in the morning. Those are thin places. So that when the hope that you had comes crashing down, there is a way through it. It is with one another. It is with this Christ-soaked world to remain in it. Because that's where Christ is, in and around us all, right on the journey. And nobody wants to walk some of these roads. But we do as humans. But not alone. That's how the burning of God's love becomes real. Amen.